This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina wa Qaidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, it is once again a great pleasure and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us all that we get together on Thursday night, which is according to the Islamic standing and the Islamic perspective, it's Friday night. And Friday night is the most blessed night throughout the entire week. And Friday day is the most blessed day throughout the entire week. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessing. And for the blessing that we get together to remind ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll be talking about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And talking about the seerah, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this great man. And as I mentioned to you before, and I remind myself anew, that the primary purpose of why we talk about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just to entertain ourselves with the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though it's very enjoyable. There's nothing more enjoyable than listening to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know why? Because it's fact. It's true. It's not Hollywood. It's not a movie. It's a reality. Everything that you hear, and everything that you imagine of, and everything that you read, and everything that we tell you, it's 100% verified. Mentioned in the Quran Kareem, mentioned by the Sahaba, and verified by the great scholars in the past up until our time. The seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam connects us to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. By default, when you are connected to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you become connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do acknowledge, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human being. He can't benefit, he can't harm. The benefit and the harm comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, the guide that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. We follow him sallallahu alayhi wasallam in accordance to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to follow him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Do not over exaggerate in me the way the Christians had ever exaggerated in Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam. Do not ever exaggerate in me." That's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Let's not ever exaggerate. But there are areas that we can ever exaggerate in. And that's the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can't ever exaggerate in that. You can't ever exaggerate in the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can't ever exaggerate in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But you can't ever exaggerate in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be. He's a human being at the end of the day. He can't benefit, he can't harm, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful, balanced sharia and religion that shows us the true path in connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I do remind you, brothers and sisters, that one of the rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon you, that you love him, you follow him, and when his name is mentioned, what do you say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last four episodes we've been talking about before the prophecy. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and from the day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, from his birth all the way to 40 years old, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being prepared for the prophecy. That's why we covered that in four episodes, and you could even cover that in 5 minutes. But the intense and comprehensive details that we have about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from prophecy to death. That's going to go for episodes. And personally, I could summarize it, but I plan to go for about 50 episodes. 50 episodes about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 50 episodes about the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From that very moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam away from this dunya. Now what makes a prophet? What makes a prophet? What makes a messenger? We mentioned this before when we're talking about the stories of the prophets and messengers. A prophet and a messenger, number one, they're human beings. They're the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created them the way He created us. They're human beings. They've got desires. They like things and they hate things. They don't know everything unless what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them from that knowledge. They are normal human beings. They don't have any power unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. So they are ordinary human beings. But what makes this human being a prophet and a messenger is that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to them a revelation. Revelation is a form of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with prophets and messengers. Like for example, when I ask you, how do you communicate with your boss? You could tell me by emails. How do you communicate with your parents overseas? You might tell me on WhatsApp or by phone. How do you communicate with your family? You'll tell me face to face. There's a number of ways that you communicate with people. There's a number of ways that you communicate. The form of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with prophets and messengers, it's called wahi, revelation. Wahi, revelation. And the wahi is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem. That the way we speak to our prophets and messengers is through the wahi, which is three different ways. There's three different ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with the prophets and messengers. The most uncommon, Allah speaking to this prophet directly. That's the most uncommon. It was common with Musa alayhi salam, very, very uncommon with other prophets, and with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam happened once, some scholars say twice. Direct communication. Allah speaks directly to the Prophet and Messenger. That's the most uncommon one. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them, they will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will speak to them in a way that suits His glory and majesty. And they'll speak back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't see Allah. No prophet or messenger, angel or human being had ever seen Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will never ever be seen in this world. In the hereafter is a different story. So the most uncommon way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with the prophets and messengers is through direct communication and speech. The second, which is average between common and uncommon. So it's more common than the first one and less uncommon than the second one. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly casting in the hearts and minds what Allah azza wa jalla wants from him. Let's see, the prophet is sitting there, he gets something, mailbox, it rings in his heart. It's an inbox from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to him, this is what I want from you, and this is what you do, and this is what you don't do, and this is what you say. Typical example is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and then suddenly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah just revealed in my heart that no soul shall die before it acquires its rizq. Allah didn't speak to him directly. Jibreel alayhi salam didn't come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah just put it in his mind. It's like, you know, when you've got your inbox, the mail inbox, Outlook, just you get an email, Allah just puts it in the inbox. They've got a special inbox between them and Allah. They just receive it. No speaking to them and no angel. That's uncommon, but more common than the first one that we spoke about. So we're going to come to the most common one. The most common one is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرْسَلْنَا رَسُولًا. We send a messenger. Who's that messenger? Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam is the most senior. He's the most senior angel out of all angels. And his responsibility is to communicate with the prophets and messengers on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the most common form of communication that Allah Azza wa Jal will communicate with the prophets and messengers. Where Jibreel will come to him and speak to them. And he says to them, Allah is saying to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Allah's telling you to do this. Allah's telling you not to do this. Allah had revealed this to you. Allah had revealed this to you from the Quran. Allah has revealed this to you from the Torah. Allah has revealed this to you from the Injil. Allah has revealed to you from this and that. So the most common way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with prophets and messengers is the wahi through Jibreel alayhi salam, where Jibreel alayhi salam will come down and speak to the prophets and messengers. And Jibreel alayhi salam coming down to the prophets and messengers, him coming down to the prophets and messengers, he used to come down in different forms. He used to come down in the different forms. Let's talk about the form that he used to come down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the most common one is Jibreel communicating with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most uncommon way Jibreel coming down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his real form. He appears to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his real form. How many times had that happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Twice. And twice the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fainted. Twice. And twice the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fainted when he saw him in his real form. Humongous. You know, you're talking about a high, skyscraper. His legs were touching the ground and his head was touching the skies. We'll talk about that later on. That's the most uncommon one. The second most uncommon one is that he will come and talk to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing him. He's there, he's talking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening. It's Jibreel, but he can't see him. And that used to be the most harshest form upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that one of the Sahaba says, I was sitting next to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, and I had my thigh under the thigh of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what an honor. What an honor to have the thigh of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above your thigh. That's how the Sahaba, they used to get so close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they used to rub shoulders with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, they really used to rub shoulders with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So this Sahabi says, suddenly, subhanAllah, it was his chance that Jibreel came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that form where he's speaking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet knows it's Jibreel 100%, but he can't see him. He said, by Allah, I felt the pressure on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sweat coming down from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the pressure came on my thigh that I felt that my thigh and my knee was going to snap. You know when you're under pressure, what do you usually do? Speakers, when they're under pressure, they start grabbing onto the table. To let the pressure somewhere, you need to release the pressure. When you're under pressure, people start biting their teeth. Or they start grabbing onto something. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a human being. He was under pressure. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to put the pressure on the thigh or on the knee that was under his knee, that was that sahabi. He said, by Allah, I thought that my knee was going to snap. Why is it pressure? Because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's paying attention. But there's nothing harder than paying attention to someone that you can't see. It's Jibreel. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, take Jibreel and the revelation of Allah is more serious than anything else. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicating to him. Jibreel speaking on behalf of Allah. So obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is paying attention. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to this voice. He's listening to Jibreel alayhi salam. He's paying so much attention but he can't see him. So obviously that creates pressure. That's the second most uncommon form of Jibreel communicating to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which brings us to the most common one. The most common way that Jibreel used to communicate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Jibreel will come in a disguise of a human being. He will come in a disguise of a human being. He will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and speak to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows it's Jibreel, but disguise of a human being. And not only that, he used to come in a disguise of a common human being that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would know. The most common disguise that Jibreel used to use was a companion by the name of Dahya al-Kilbi. He was a young, good-looking, handsome, peaceful-looking companion. He used to come and speak to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to comfort the Prophet alayhi wasallam. But he used to come in different disguises. So the most common way they used to come and speak to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a disguise of a human being. That's what we call revelation. So what makes that prophet, or what makes that human being to be a prophet? Revelation. The moment Jibreel comes down and speaks to this prophet or speaks to this man on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this man becomes what? Prophet and messenger. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet and a messenger. Now in the last and previous episodes that we've been talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are just talking about before the prophecy, which is what? Preparation, remember? Preparation. Everything that happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from birth to being an orphan, to the opening of his chest, to come to Saadiyah. Then, you know, Saadiyah where Bani Sa'd, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken, and he, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, was in Bedouin, in the desert. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moving to his mother passing away, then his grandfather passing away, then his uncle, and then all those episodes, every single thing that we mentioned last week, and the previous weeks, and the previous episodes, they are all preparation, nothing random. Every single thing was ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the big mission. What's the big mission? To be the messenger of Allah to the entire creation of Allah and to the entire mankind to the day of judgment, which is the biggest mission. No one had ever been given that mission. Every other prophet in the past was given a mission to a certain group of people, nation, state, tribe. But now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for every single human being to the day of judgment. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned last week, he got married to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha when he was 25 years old. And he moved in the house of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Khadija loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also loved her. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to stay loyal to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha even after her death. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had children. And we said they had 2 boys and 4 girls. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to grow. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to age. And until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old, when we spoke about one important episode that took place, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old, 5 years before the prophecy, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in the reconstruction of the Kaaba. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to save bloodshedding and save the people of Quraysh from fighting each other. We've spoken about that last week. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hits 37 years old, and every age that we mention, it's according to the lunar year. 37 years old is 35 years old, according to the solar year. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 37 years old is an interesting age. When you're 37, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you look around, family, you have kids, you have health, you have house, you have reputation, you have exploring other things, you did experiencing other things, you did. You hit the age 37, 38, you look around and you say, and then what? I'm sure when you've hit around that age, you probably did say, and then what? What's life about? When you hit that age, I'm talking about normal people with rational way of thinking. When you hit that age, you turn around and say, you know what? And then what? What's next in life? Whatever I want, I've got. Whatever experience I wanted to experience, I did. Whatever I wanted to look into, I did. And then what? What's next? There's got to be something more than that to life. And we're talking about the most rational human being that ever existed on the face of this earth. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most smartest person to ever tread this earth. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 37, 38 years old, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit the age and is looking around and saying, you know what? There's more to life than just getting married and having kids and having respect and having wealth and having health and enjoying life. There's more to that. And you're talking about a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for the great mission. And at the same time, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in Allah, but there was no contact. There was no direct contact. Yes, Allah was preserving him. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was guarding him in one way or another. But in reality, if you ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you know about Allah? I know he exists. He's the Almighty. He's the Great One. And then what? I don't know. Yes. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in an environment of pagans, where people will make idols with their hands and prostrate to them. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam always negated that. He always went against that. It doesn't make sense. Any person with rational way of thinking, how do you prostrate to something that you made with your own hands? This is a bottle of water that I made with my own hands. I filled up, I put it like this, and I start asking it to help me. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever believed in idols. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever prostrated or bowed or worshipped idols. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never promoted them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was always against them. So he hit the age where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is looking around and say, okay, I know Allah exists. Connect me to you, Allah. Not knowing that Allah is preparing him all this time for him to be the connection for other people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guiding people to Allah azza wa jal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit 38 years old, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to go in seclusion. Go in seclusion. What we know these days, me time. You know, me time, well, you know what? Give me my space. I need to think about my future. Give me my space. I need to think about my future. I need to think about what I'm going to do. I need to look around. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 38 years old, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to get in seclusion. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam will get to a cave called the cave of Hira, in a mountain called the mountain of Nur. This mountain is 3 kilometers away from the Kaaba. What's unique about that cave? It's high in the mountain. If you are in that cave, you could see the Kaaba. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose that cave because he used to go there. He used to stay there, not for 1 hour or 2 hours, for days and nights. Up to 10 days and nights, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stay in that cave, just gaze at the Kaaba and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did that the first year. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will take enough food and water for him to stay there for days and nights. And all he does is just sit there, gaze at the Kaaba and think of Allah. Rationally. I want to tell you something. Forget about Islam, forget about the Quran, forget about what you know about Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You are someone that's born right in the middle of the jungle. You've never encountered any human being. If you sit down with a bit of rational way of thinking, what's your conclusion going to be? That there's no God except Allah. That's your conclusion. All you got to do is just think. Just a bit of thinking. It's not hard. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to seclude himself in the cave of Hira, in the mountain of Nur, which is 3 kilometers away from the Kaaba, sitting at that cave, just gazing at the Kaaba. Days and nights will go like this. And the cave is a very small cave that barely fits one person. So it's not a big massive cave that you see in the movies. Don't drift too much. It's a little small cave that barely fits one person. Barely fits one person. Just a little one, 4 square meters in the whole size. 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter. 4 square meters. Very little. That space that you just prayed at. Barely to fit one person. He did that the first year. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go back home. Sometimes he'll go back home just to stock up on food and water and return back to the cave. He just wanted that seclusion. That time off for him just to contemplate where from here, Ya Rab, I know you exist, just connect me to you. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that the following year. The following year was when he was 39 years old, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where alayhi salatu wasalam again will get to that cave in that mountain and gather for days and nights until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam hit 40 years old. 40 years old is a very unique age. 40 years old is a unique age where your maturity, your bare minimum experience in life is there. So if you're going to be lost and misguided after 40 years old, then you know what? May Allah help you. May Allah help you. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah doesn't even have an excuse for someone that had reached the age of 40 that continues to disobey Allah. I understand if you're 18, 19 years old, you're lost and you're misguided. I understand that. But 40 years old, what are you doing 40 years old? Still misguided? Still committing the haram? Still want to go out? Still want to do this? You're 40 years old. And then 50 years old and 60 years old. So 40 years old, 40 is a unique age. And some of the scholars said 40 years old is a prime age for the prophecy. It doesn't mean all the prophets and messengers were prophets and messengers when they were 40. But it's a prime age for 40. 40 years old is a prime age. It's a unique age. You know, when you reach to that point, you're 40 years old, you look at it and say, you know what? You've reached to that. Like, you have more control, more experience, more understanding of life than any other time. Yes, when you're 50 years old and 60 years old, you have more experience in life and you have more understanding of life. But you have less strength, energy, opportunities when you hit 40 and 50, when you hit 50 and 60 than 40. So 40 is a very unique age. 40 is a unique age. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for three years in a row, alayhi salatu wa sallam, will go to the cave of Hira, attend to the cave of Hira, seclude himself in the cave of Hira, and just contemplate. And contemplating is a worship. Well, you know that moment when you sit there and just think of Allah azza wa jal? That's a worship. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stay there for days and nights. Aisha says, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit 40 years old, he loved seclusion. And then signs of the prophecies start to appear. From amongst the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, the trees and the rocks will give salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Now obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening, but not understanding what's going on. The last thing that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought to himself that he's going to be a prophet and messenger. There are signs that later on he understood, but him as a person, none of this crossed his mind. The other one is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see dreams, and every dream that he sees will come into reality and truth the following day. He sees a dream tonight, tomorrow what he saw happens. That's a sign of the prophecy. Until that moment, which was on Monday, the 21st of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan existed at that time, according to some of the scholars. 21st of Ramadan that year, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 40 years old. In the cave of Hira, in seclusion, away from his family, sitting there for days and nights, just contemplating of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah azza wa jal, and looking at the Kaaba, which is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla had commanded Ibrahim and Ismail to build, who are the grandparents and grandfathers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suddenly, a being just comes out of nowhere. A being just comes out of nowhere. For years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been going to that cave. And for years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been attending there. And for days and nights, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his own. No one ever comes there, and out of nowhere, bang, a being just comes out of nowhere and tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad iqra, O Muhammad recite. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is petrified. Extremely scared. Not only that out of nowhere someone just appears, but this someone that appeared is not even a human being. And he's speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such confidence, saying to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, read, iqra. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being so petrified, shivering and scared. And at the same time, he's struggling to make up or understand the situation, what's going on. But this being is saying to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, read. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is illiterate, doesn't know how to read or write. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replies back and he says, Ma ana biqari', I don't know how to read. That's how much the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was petrified and scared. He didn't turn around and say, who are you? What are you? What do you want from me? But when you are under so much panic and fear, you just respond to the question that someone asks you. Read, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma ana biqara adan nahar read." So this being that we all know who he is, Jibreel alayhi salam, grabs the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hugs the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, squeezes him so hard that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I could not even breathe. I thought I'm gonna die from this squeeze." And who's squeezing him? Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam, the one that can crush an entire mountain, grabbing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and hugging him, squeezing him so hard, saying to him, "Oh Muhammad, iqra." And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam says, "Ma ana biqara adanna harid." And he squeezes him so hard and then lets him go. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is catching his breath with all this pressure and fear going on him. And the second time tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam again, "Ya Muhammad, oh Muhammad, iqra, recite." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so petrified, so scared and terrified, so fearful, saying, "Ma ana biqara, I don't know how to read." And he grabs him the second time, squeezes him so hard that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I thought I was going to die. He was going to crush my lungs." And then he let go of me the second time. And the third time, continues to ask me the same question, "Ya Muhammad, iqra, oh Muhammad, read and recite." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with full fear and with full terror, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replies back and says, "Ma ana biqara, I don't know her read, I don't know her recite, I told you." And that's the reality, I do not know how to read. So he grabs him the third time, squeezes him so hard that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "I thought I was going to die from that squeeze." And he lets go of him and tells him, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم." Read in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the one that had created the human being. He created the human being from a cloth, from a clinging substance. Read in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous. Read in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had taught the human being with the pen. He taught that human being what he does not know and disappears. What an event. Oh, now you're listening to it and you're just contemplating it. Can you imagine the fear the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in? Can you imagine how petrified the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in? Unexpectedly, out of nowhere. He just pops out of nowhere and talks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam without any introduction, without "Hi, hello, good evening, excuse me." Just tells him, "Read and read and read," and squeezes him so hard, about to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was unintended. And then he goes. But before he goes, he leaves him with the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Read and recite in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had created the human being and created the entire creation. Imagine the state of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm going to tell you what state he was in. He was scared, yes. He was petrified sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was terrified sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which is what? This is an indication to you that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stage anything or plan anything, because you don't get scared from something that you planned. You don't get scared from something that you staged. It was unplanned. It was planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that being was Jibreel alayhi salam. He came down by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver the first message to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is read. Why is it read, not pray, not give da'wah, go and fast, attend the masajid? Read, because the key to success is knowledge. The key to happiness is knowledge. The key to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge. The key to pleasing Allah azza wa jal and growing in Islam is knowledge. So read, even though you don't know how to read. That's one. Secondly, a lot of you are asking, what's the purpose of Jibreel alayhi salam squeezing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam so hard, so harsh, so painful, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he did it to me 3 times to the extent I thought that my soul was going to come out. That squeeze wasn't out of love. And that squeeze wasn't just because Jibreel felt like it. That squeeze was to tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, oh Muhammad, this is real. It's true. You're not imagining. You're not asleep. This is reality. And I could even hurt you. So when you walk out of here, don't even think twice that you're imagining something, or you fell asleep and you saw something in your dream. Sometimes you see something in the dream, you wake up, you don't even know if it's true or not. It happens. Especially if you had a deep sleep. It happens sometimes, like, was that a dream or not? But Jibreel alayhi salam came and he squeezed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam 3 times, so hard, so hard, so painful, that there was no room for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come down from the mountain and leave that cave in the middle of the night for him to say, you know what, maybe I fell asleep and I saw a bad nightmare. No, it wasn't. Do you feel the aching? Yeah, that wasn't a nightmare. That was an imagination. Subhanallah, wisdom. Obviously, this is the wisdom that the scholars had derived and explained. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. It wasn't an imagination. It wasn't a dream. It was reality. It was Jibreel alayhi salam. He came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the order of Allah azza wa jal to command Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil qalam. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam do? Yes, he did what we do. He packed himself and went home. He's not going to stay there anymore. It's fearful. Out of nowhere, someone just pops out of nowhere in the middle of that mountain. And if you've ever been there, it's not an easy walk or hike. It's about an hour walk, very steep walk. By the time you end on the top of that mountain, you'll be looking for your grave to go and bury yourself. That's how tired you get. So it's not like, you know, people just walking past. No, it's not people walking past. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been doing that for 3 years. No one had ever come near him. And then out of nowhere, this being comes and talks to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that manner and tells him, Iqra, 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 holds him, squeezes him 3 times to the extent the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about himself that I thought I'm going to die. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did pack his stuff and went home. Went home at what time? In the middle of the night. Never ever the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attended his house in the middle of the night. Knock, knock on the door. Khadija, scared and petrified. Would it be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Muhammad never comes at this time. And you know what? It's not nice. It's not nice for you just to come and rock up to your house in the middle of the night. You'll make your family scared. At least rock up in the morning. That's manners. That's what we've been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knock, knock. She opens the door. It's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a pale face. She could see that in his face. Khair. Oh Muhammad, what happened? You don't usually come in this time. And you've never attended the house at this time. And look at your face. And why are you shivering? You're so scared, petrified. Sit down. What's wrong? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam shivering, saying, cover me. Cover me. From the fear. What an experience. It's not an easy experience. If someone's standing behind the wall and they come out and just scare you, you'll be petrified for an entire week. And it was just, you know, a prank. Imagine what happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a human being at the end of the day. He's got a heart and he's got emotions. Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, cover me. Khair Muhammad, tell us what's wrong. Explain to us. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I feed on myself. Something came to attack me. Out of nowhere. And this thing that came to attack me, I've never seen it before. I've never experienced it before. I don't even know what it is. I feed on myself. So look at Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look at the power of this righteous woman, Khadija. She replies back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full confidence, says, no way. Nah. You shouldn't be afraid on yourself. Allah will never ever let someone like yourself down. You are someone that keeps ties with the kings. You are someone that helps someone who is in need on the street. And you are the one that helps the needy. And you are the one that's so hospitable to the guests. And you are the one that stands by the truth. And someone that has those traits and qualities, Allah will never let him down. Look at Khadija, that's before Islam. Before Islam. Look at this courage. Look at this courage. Subhanallah. Look at this power. By Allah, Allah will never let you down. You're not the type of person. Oh no, you're my husband. Oh no, I've been living with you for years. I've seen you. I've never seen you do anything wrong. All you do is noble things, and therefore Allah will never let you down. She comforted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this comfort that she brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the comfort that she comforted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never forgotten this moment, even after her death. She comforted me when everyone else discomforted me. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. She comforted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She calmed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she went to her cousin. Her cousin was Waraq ibn Nawfal. Waraq ibn Nawfal was an Arab, and he was the only Christian Arab in Mecca. Christianity wasn't widely spread in the Arabian Peninsula, especially in Mecca. Waraq was from amongst those that was a Christian, which means his understanding of the religion is better than those pagans, better than those idol worshippers. So she went to her cousin, and Waraq was old. So he was a Christian Arab, old age and blind. Old and blind. So she took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Waraqa. And she said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of Waraqa. And Waraqa tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me your story. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates his story and what happened to him to Waraqa. Waraqa is listening and listening and listening. And then he pauses. And he says, Allah, amazing, amazing. It sounds like the exact angel that came down to Musa. And you know what? It's time due for a prophet and a messenger. There's that prophecy that there's a prophet and messenger that will emerge soon. And from what you told me right now, these are the indications that you are the next prophet and messenger that everyone's waiting for. Allah, Allah, this is good news. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is shocked. Unexpected. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't plan this. He didn't stage it. He didn't articulate it. It was ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the next prophet. You are the next messenger. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is listening. And then Waraqa strikes the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with this news. He tells him, oh Muhammad, I wish I was a young, strong man. I wish that I'm a young, strong man for me to stand by your side when your people turn against you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. He just told me that I'm going to be the next prophet and messenger, which means people respect me even more. Now people respect me. Being a prophet and messenger, that will make people even respect me even more. I wish if I'm a young man that will stand by your side when your people turn against you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazed and being shocked, awa mukhrijihum, my people will turn on me and kick me out of the city. So he replies back to him and he says, yes, every man that came with what he came with, his people always turned against him. He's a Christian. He's read the Bible. He understands the stories of the prophets and messengers in the past. I wish if I'm a young man that will stand by you when your people turn against you, why would my people do that to me if I only bring goodness to them? No one had ever came with what he came with, and people didn't turn against him. Look at the preparation. You know, a lot of the times, I want to work in the da'wah. I wish I was amongst the sahaba. You listen to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first thing that crosses your mind, I wish I was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't wish for that, I'll be honest with you. You're only bringing hardship upon yourself. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves Waraq ibn Nawfal with more stress now. The stress of being a prophet, I'm not 100% sure. His own people that love him and respect him and honor him will turn on him and exile him from the city. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was also shocked out of that. And what increased the pressure is no more communication after it. At least in a second chapter, second communication, second response. Let me know what's going on. Okay, he came to me the first time and he petrified me. Let me know the next stage. وَفَتَرَ الْوَحِيِّ as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, and the revelation and Jibreel paused. No more communications. You could imagine the mindset of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the mindset of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Every single day, Nabi ﷺ waiting for something to come down, Jibreel to come down to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, to talk to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to inform the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ of something. Okay, what's next? You petrified me, you made me scared, you were about to kill me, you're about this, that, and now people are saying I'm going to be the next Prophet. Okay, and next? Yes or no? What's going to happen? For 6 months, no more communications. No further communication. And you could imagine the pressure the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is going through. The stress that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is going through. Where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is just thinking about what's next? What's going to happen? Who's there? Let me know at least, is it true? What Waraqa told me I'm going to be the next Prophet and Messenger or not? I need to know. Just let me know. And the worst thing is when you ask a question and you don't get an answer. And there's nothing more important than an answer of being a prophet or messenger or not. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ stays like this for 6 months under a lot of stress that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ describes it to be one of the most stressful moments in his life until the second revelation came down to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to prepare the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and to inform the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ of his mission. That we'll talk about next week, inshallah. Subhanak Allah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll continue with the next episode on the revelation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah accept and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon with the listen and hear.
I wanna be in Jannah, Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.